Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This episode contains distressing themes and descriptions of violence. This podcast is intended for a mature audience. Listener caution is advised. Dan Brockley was driving along Woodside Road close to Woodsum Hall Golf Club in Huddersfield when a woman stumbled out of the tree line and into the road. It was dark and quiet when the female suddenly appeared, shortly before midnight on Saturday, May 28, 2011. Dan instinctively slammed his foot against the brakes, bringing the car to a screeching halt. The woman scrambled to the passenger side door and pleaded with him to let her in. She was visibly distressed and disheveled. When Dan took a chance and opened the door, the woman said her name was Michelina and someone had just tried to kill her.
Deep in these woods near Huddersfield, a young mother thought she was going to die. The jury heard that he had had several other girlfriends and would often stay out with them all night.
This was a heartless and calculated crime.
The victim in this terrifying ordeal demonstrated tremendous bravery and undoubtedly saved her own life by escaping from the box that she'd been buried in.
Welcome to Season 8, Episode 27 of They Walk Among Us, a podcast dedicated to UK true crime. Michelina Lewandowska was born and raised in Lazarczyn, a village in the south of Poland. She was one of three children born to parents Mirosława and Jan. In 2005, when Michelina was 21 years old, she began dating Marcin Kaspczak, a local man 2 years her junior. He was the only child of Marzena and Andrzej Kaspczak. The young couple quickly fell in love, and within a year they had emigrated from Poland to the UK, close to Kaspczak's parents who were living on Penistone Road in Huddersfield. Kaspczak was an avid weightlifter, who spent hours each week working on his physique in the local gym, until his 16-stone frame was sculpted to what he perceived as his physical ideal. Michelina and Kaspczak appeared to have a solid relationship, so it was no surprise when they got engaged soon after moving to Huddersfield. A year later, Michelina fell pregnant with their first child, and they both looked forward to becoming parents. Their son Jakub was born in the spring of 2008, and the family of three moved in with Kaspczak's parents. The following year, Kaspczak was made redundant. When Michelina finished maternity leave, she began working, altering clothing in Oldham to bring in a wage. but this started to cause problems in the relationship. Kaspshak wanted Mikalina to stay at home and take care of their son. Eventually, Kaspshak secured a position in a meat factory, Country Park Foods on New Hay Road. However, life at home did not improve. Shift schedules meant the couple saw very little of each other, especially as Kaspshak spent most of his free time at the gym or on nights out with his friends. Kaspshak's mother, Majana, was kind enough to take care of her grandchild while Jakob's parents were at work. After getting home, Mikalina often looked after her son without her partner, over 1,000 miles from any of her relatives. On the rare occasion she saw her fiancé, they ended up arguing, and it reached a point where they decided to call off their engagement. Mikalina continued to wear her engagement ring, but not on her wedding finger. By April 2011, the couple were barely on speaking terms. Kaspshak had persistently told Mikalina to move out and leave their son with his mother, but she did not want to give up on her relationship or miss out on spending time with her little boy. On May 28, 2011, surprisingly, Marcin Kaspshak offered to take Mikalina shopping while his parents took Jakob out for the day. Time alone together was a positive step forward, and Mikalina was excited at the prospect of getting her relationship back on track. Kaspshak had treated her poorly over the past few years. She missed the man she had known when they first met, and she hoped the date he had planned was his way of showing her he was willing to change. That afternoon, Mikalina began getting herself ready in the bathroom of Kaspshak's parents' home. She was applying her makeup. She could hear voices behind the closed bathroom door. She recognized who it was, her partner and his 17-year-old friend Patrick Borish. Mikalina opened the bathroom door to see what was going on. Kaspshak said he wanted to show her something. As he spoke, he reached into his pocket, and horrifyingly he pulled out a taser. Mikalina barely had time to react before Kaspshak pressed it against her neck and squeezed the trigger. A surge of electricity went through Mikalina's body as Kaspshak pushed her down onto the hallway floor. He kept the taser pressed against her neck. She squirmed in agony, but Mikalina remained conscious and screamed for him to stop. The slim-built 27-year-old was overcome by the strength of the 6-foot, 16-stone bodybuilder as he put his knee on her chest to keep her on the floor. Mikalina was terrified, and as she looked over towards teenager Patrick Borish, it appeared he had not been expecting the events to unfold the way they had. Kaspshak ordered Borish to get a roll of parcel tape. Borish did as he was told, and when he returned with the tape, he and Kaspshak bound Mikalina's ankles and wrists together. Mikalina later told a reporter for the Huddersfield Examiner. At one stage they talked about a plastic bag, and I thought they were going to put it over my head and tape it up so I would suffocate. I knew I had to remain conscious to escape. Marcin was saying I was hopeless, and he hated me and had done for years. Before he taped up my mouth, I asked if he was going to kill me. But he just said he was going to take me away somewhere and told me not to be scared. I will never forget the look on his face. He was incredibly calm, which was even more worrying. I was terrified, but my neck was in agony and I was tied up and I couldn't fight him. While Mikalina was on the floor, Kaspshak voiced his fear that she was going to leave him and take their son to Poland. He wasn't going to let that happen. Kaspshak cruelly told Mikalina that Jakub was going to forget her, and she would forget him. And for her own safety, it would be better for her never to show her face in Huddersfield again. Over the course of the next 5 hours, Kaspshak continued to berate Mikalina and tell her that the girls at his gym were better looking than her, and she was not good enough for him or their son. When her fingers turned blue from poor circulation caused by the tape wrapped around her wrists, Kaspshak loosened the constraints. He also brought Mikalina to the bathroom and gave her a banana and some water, but these minimal acts of kindness were interspersed by a torrent of abuse. Shortly before 9 p.m, Kaspshak and Boris lifted Mikalina up and placed her inside a large cardboard box. Kaspshak closed the lid and taped it shut before he and Boris lugged it outside to his car and placed it in the boot. From inside the vehicle, Mikalina heard the engine start and felt the motion of the car as it pulled out of the driveway. The radio was playing loudly, but she could hear Boris and Kaspshak speaking in hushed voices in the front seat, although she couldn't make out what they were saying. Only a short time passed before the car came to a stop, and the box was lifted out of the boot and turned upside down. As the box was dragged along the rough ground, rocks and stones dug into Mikalina's body, but she tried her best to remain silent. Lying face down inside the box, Mikalina could hear the sound of a spade hitting dirt, and then the thuds of mud and stones hitting the cardboard. It was at this point she realized she was being buried alive. Mikalina would recall, "I couldn't move and I was terrified that I would lose consciousness and wondered whether I would ever wake up again." Mikalina realized the air was limited in such a confined space. "I heard a spade digging and then the soil falling on top of the box. I thought, this is it, I'm going to die. It was pitch dark and there was hardly any room. I was terrified that I was going to suffocate, so I started breathing as shallowly as I could." As she listened to the sound of soil being shoveled on top of the box, Mikalina thought about trying to pry it open from a small slit used to carry it, but she was afraid that Kaspshak would see and break her fingers with the spade. When the shoveling stopped, Mikalina was too afraid to move or make a sound in case Kaspshak was still waiting to attack her. After what felt like an eternity, she knew time was of the essence. Mikalina had to escape. Mikalina's mind focused on her little boy Jakub, who was her entire world and the only family she had in the UK. She recalled, "I didn't hear the car, but after a while I knew that I had to get out, whether he was still there or not. All sorts of things were going through my mind, but I tried to keep calm." Spurred on by the love for her son, Mikalina decided to use the only thing available to her to cut the bindings around her wrists and ankles. Thinking logically, she remembered the diamond engagement ring Kaspshak had given her 5 years earlier. She used it to slash at the tape around her wrists until it tore apart. The ring, as it turned out, was invaluable. Without knowing it, Kaspshak had given Mikalina the tool she needed to escape death at his hands. Once she could move around, Mikalina used the ring to hack at the top of the cardboard box, frantically tearing at the card until she made a hole. Dirt and soil began falling in on top of her, covering her face and hair. Determined, Mikalina pushed her hands upwards, making the hole wide enough so she could get her head and body out, up through the soil before taking in huge gulps of air as she caught her breath. All she could see under the night sky were trees and leaves on the forest floor. Nicolina estimated that she spent around half an hour inside the box beneath the soil with a limited air supply, and then exerted an incredible amount of energy in order to escape. She had almost passed out. Exhausted, having to move a large tree stump that had been dropped on top of the box, Nicolina began screaming for help. She could hear the faint sound of music playing in a nearby pub, so she stood up and began walking towards it. Nicolina staggered through the dark woods until she reached the roadside, managing to flag down Dan Brockley, who just so happened to be driving by. The police arrived at the scene within 15 minutes, and Michalina Lewandowska led them to an area deep within the woods. It was around half a mile from the Woodsum Hall Golf Club and just over 30 metres from the road. There were no residential properties nearby. In a naturally formed depression in the soil, the officers found a large cardboard box partially covered with leaves, soil, twigs, and large branches. A fallen tree stump had been placed across the top of the box, which had collapsed under the weight of the dirt and remnants of a tree. While Michalina was taken to the hospital to have her injuries assessed, scenes of crime officers were busy collecting evidence. Using large bags, they scooped up the dirt and foliage from the top of the cardboard box. There were a number of indentations in the soil close by that the officers believed had been made with a spade. West Yorkshire Police Scenes of Crime Officer Carl Aykroyd would later say that he thought someone had attempted to dig a hole in the dry soil but could not, so they tried to conceal the box with compacted dirt and pieces of a fallen tree. The box itself and all of the parcel tape that was found stuck to it were taken to be swabbed for DNA and fingerprints. When Michalina was examined, doctors noted scratches and cuts to her neck and back, as well as further injuries on her neck. They were consistent with being shocked with a high-voltage taser. Bruising and tenderness on her back and upper body evidenced that she had struggled within a confined space, and the adhesive tape that had covered her mouth and extremities left residue and small abrasions. After being treated for minor physical injuries, Michalina recounted what had happened. Aware of who they were looking for, investigators began searching for Marcin Kaspshak and Patrick Borish. Shortly before 4 a.m. on May 29th, 2011, around 4 hours after Michalina escaped, the police found Marcin Kaspshak and Patrick Borish fast asleep at Borish's home on Rashcliffe Hill Road in Huddersfield. During their subsequent interviews, Kaspshak refused to comment and only spoke to his solicitor. 17-year-old Patrick Borish claimed that he hadn't even seen Michalina that night, and he was confident there would be no evidence to link him to the attack. A man and a woman in their 40s believed to be Kaspshak's parents were arrested that same day, but later released without charge. The following day, police officers and evidence technicians conducted a search of Marcin Kaspshak's parents' home on Penistone Road. In a spare bedroom, there were a number of food and supplement containers, and a notice board displaying 4 different chemical formulas. On Kaspshak's computer and laptop, investigators discovered a list of banned books and a copy of the Anarchist Cookbook, an instruction manual written in 1971 that includes recipes for explosives and other illicit items. Discovered within the house were pieces of equipment used to manufacture explosives, such as pyrotechnic fuses, beakers, a welder's mask, and protective gloves. Upon closer inspection of the food containers, specialists found a large quantity of chemicals that corresponded to the formulas posted on the notice board. Carbon, sulfur, and potassium nitrate were discovered in the containers. A formula on the board listed how to produce gunpowder by mixing the chemicals. Potassium permanganate was also found, and if it had been combined with glycerol, it could have produced a burst explosion. Iron oxide and aluminium powder were also within the home. If they had been combined, it would have produced thermite, a mixture that burns incredibly hot and can cause serious injury. A further formula mentioned ammonium nitrate, listed the measurements to produce an extremely dangerous and explosive substance called ammonium nitrate fuel oil. After the West Yorkshire Constabulary consulted with Alison Mansfield, a senior case officer at a forensic explosives laboratory, they were told that the formula displayed and the mixtures Casp Shack had been researching could have easily been manufactured with the equipment he possessed. If Casp Shack had combined the chemicals, he could have produced a large quantity of explosives. The police spoke to Michalina Lewandowska, who explained that March in Casp Shack had been experimenting with the chemicals in the past. She didn't consider it too concerning at the time, as he had made what simply looked like fireworks. One firework had accidentally gone off inside the home, leaving a scorch mark on the table. When Michalina confronted Casp Shack about it, he began combining the mixtures outside, which again appeared to be nothing more than fireworks. Detectives questioned Casp Shack about the suspicious chemicals. He admitted that they were his and he was curious about their effects, but denied that he had done any research on how to combine them. On June 1st, 2011, March in Casp Shack and Patrick Borish appeared before Huddersfield Crown Court charged with kidnapping and attempted murder. Casp Shack was also charged with possession of a prohibited weapon after the police found the taser at his parents' home. The charges were relayed to the defendants through a Polish interpreter, after which they were remanded into custody. Before being escorted out of the courtroom, Borish blew a kiss to his mother, who was sobbing in the public gallery. By the time the pair were brought to a plea hearing at Bradford Crown Court in August, Borish had turned 18, and his name was published by the media. Both Casp Shack and Borish denied the charges and entered not guilty pleas. The trial was scheduled to begin in November, but before the legal proceedings began, Borish admitted that he had been involved in the kidnap of Michalina Lewandowska. As he maintained his not guilty plea for her attempted murder, Patrick Borish was still committed to trial alongside March in Casp Shack.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
The trial began at Leeds Crown Court on December 5, 2011. Marcin Kasprzak and Patrick Borysz were accused of attempted murder, and both maintained not guilty pleas. Kasprzak had also gone on to plead guilty to a charge of kidnapping, along with possessing a prohibited weapon. Opening the case for the Crown, Prosecutor Jonathan Sharp QC told the jury that Mikalina Lewandowska and Marcin Kasprzak's relationship began to change after she fell pregnant. Things got worse when she gave birth to their son Jakub in 2008, and they moved in with Kasprzak's parents. His mother Marzena did not appreciate Mikalina's parenting style, and his father Andrei was a heavy drinker, which only heightened the tension in the house. The court heard that as Jakub got older and Mikalina returned to work, Kasprzak started to resent her. Kasprzak then began having an affair with a woman named Jenna and changed his relationship status to single on Facebook. The prosecutor said, "Around this time, it seems the idea became rooted in Marcin Kasprzak that the way forward for him was that he and his mother should look after his son, and that one way or another, Mikalina should be got out of the way. And that idea developed into him thinking that the only way of getting rid of her was to kill her. In a nutshell, this case is about a young man who got bored with his partner, the mother of his child, and he decided to get rid of her." Jurors were told that Kasprzak had asked his boss for the day off on May 28, 2011. He had spent the previous night with the woman he was having an affair with, and Kasprzak told his mother that Mikalina would be moving out, so she needed to take Jakub out for the day so he could discuss things in private. Jonathan Sharp QC told the court that Kasprzak had used a 300,000-volt taser to incapacitate Mikalina, but it did not paralyze her in the way he had expected. After putting the tape around her mouth, wrists and ankles, Kasprzak and Borysz forced Mikalina into a cardboard box and put it into the boot of the car before driving to the woods. There they dug a shallow grave and buried her alive, leaving branches and a large tree stump weighing around 40 kilograms on top of the mound of earth. The prosecutor said, "Against all odds and against expectations, she managed to escape and raise the alarm. Mikalina was not unconscious, and she was able, although with great difficulty, to get herself out of the box and the earth covering and surrounding it." By the time Mikalina had freed herself, Kasprzak and Borysz had already withdrawn £500 of Mikalina's money from a cash machine at a Morrison's supermarket. They were at Borysz's home fast asleep when the police came to arrest them hours later. Despite their initial denials of any involvement, both defendants admitted to partaking in the kidnapping. Jonathan Sharp QC told the jury, "What happened on that night of Saturday, May 28th, will not be disputed by either of them. What each defendant does dispute is whether he did intend that night to kill Michalina Lewandowska. Arrangements were made so that the first witness and survivor, Michalina Lewandowska, could provide her testimony from behind a screen with the assistance of a Polish interpreter. Michalina explained that she had been getting ready for what she thought would be a pleasant day of shopping with her boyfriend when she heard Kaspshak speaking with Borish outside the bathroom. She went out to meet them, and Kaspshak pulled out a taser. Michalina testified, "I felt this massive electric shock, and an agonizing pain shot through me. He dragged me to the floor and kept putting the taser onto my neck. I was screaming for him to stop, but he was too strong for me." The courtroom was silent as Michalina described being bundled into the box which Kaspshak sealed with tape. Michalina admitted that she complied with Kaspshak because she was afraid that he would kill her if she didn't. She recalled hearing the sound of dirt being shoveled on top of the box and waiting for Kaspshak and Borish to leave. Michalina described using an engagement ring to tear through the tape and make a hole in the box. She remembered praying to God when she was overcome with exhaustion. "I said to myself, keep going just for a moment. You will manage to get some help. I thought it won't be easy, but I have to get out. I have to get to the street. I was very angry. I was struggling with the box. It was not easy. I managed to get half my body out. I was lying on the ground. I was talking to myself, keep going." After Michalina provided her statement, she was cross-examined by Kaspshak's counsel, Julian Goose, QC. The barrister voiced his belief that his client was only trying to scare Michalina so she would leave Huddersfield. Julian Goose, QC, told Michalina that there had been two handholes in the box that she could breathe through and implied that Kaspshak knew this. Michalina replied, "I can tell you now that they were not left specially or intentionally for me to live. I'm sure that he was going to kill me, that he wanted to kill me." Michalina believed that the holes had not been taped shut because Kaspshak was in a rush. He had taped her wrists and ankles together to make it difficult to free herself. Kaspshak's counsel reminded Michalina that Kaspshak had not hit her, and he had asked if she was okay, brought her to the toilet, and peeled bananas for her to eat. While being cross-examined by Patrick Borish's barrister David Hatton QC, Michalina said that she did not blame the teenager for what happened, telling the court, "I think he was deceived in the same way I was. He was not fully aware of the things Marcin was going to do." Michalina said that it was clear to her that Borish was afraid, and Kaspshak was reassuring him throughout, telling Borish that no one would find out what they had done. As she was watched from the public gallery, Borish's mother burst into tears as Michalina said, "I think never in his life before had he had to do what he was doing on that particular day." On the fourth day of the trial, the jury was shown photographs of Michalina Lewandowska's injuries. All were consistent with her account of the events. Scenes of crime officer Carl Ackroyd testified after the jury viewed a video he had recorded of the woodland scene. He told the court that the box had been placed in a hollow depression in the soil next to a bank of earth. Ackroyd explained that he and his colleagues had seen marks in the soil that had been made by a spade. When cross-examined by Casp Shack's barrister Julian Goose QC, the officer was asked, "What we're not dealing with here is a hole dug deep into the ground and the box put inside and a large quantity of soil put inside to bury the box." Carl Aykroyd replied, "It's not a 6-foot deep hole, but it is an attempt to conceal." The officer said they had collected 20 to 25 bags of compacted soil and leaves from the area covering the collapsed box. They had not weighed the contents, arguing that the witness could not say how heavy the material was. Julian Goose QC said, "The majority of the material you found was loose leaf material. That's fairly light soil. One can say it's not terribly thick. You suggest the reason the box collapsed was because of the weight on top, but this is after the box was torn, allowing Michelina to escape. I would suggest the box was not as sound and strong once Michelina tears her way out of it." The jury were then read a transcript of a Facebook chat between March in Casp Shack and a colleague from Country Park Foods that had taken place 2 weeks before the kidnapping, May 16, 2011. The conversation between Andrew Wilkins and Casp Shack began after Casp Shack changed his relationship status on Facebook to single. Andrew had asked why he had changed it, and Casp Shack told him that he wouldn't change it to another option of "it's complicated," because it wasn't. Casp Shack told Andrew, "I'm not with her anymore. We had a small talk." After Andrew asked if Michelina was still living with him, Casp Shack replied, "Yes, but not for long. In a few weeks, we are going to live separately. You're the first person to know about this, but be quiet for now." March in Casp Shack took the stand in his own defense. He told the court that he did not like how Michelina was raising their son Jakub, and she had been using bad language in front of the 3-year-old. Casp Shack said, "What she was doing wasn't really what mothers should do with their child." When asked if he thought Michelina was a good mother, he said no, and that was why he broke off their engagement. His counsel asked him if he had discussed his concerns with Michelina, and Casp Shack replied, "Every week. I kept asking her to seek help, obviously psychological. I suspected she had postnatal depression." Casp Shack claimed he had not planned to attack Michelina. He just wanted to tell her to move out, but something his son had said made him furious. The defendant told the court, "My son told me his mother was scaring him. He said she was putting a shirt over her head and pretending to be a ghost scaring him, and telling him that ghosts were in the wardrobe." Casp Shack said that he suspected Michelina had been putting money aside and was planning on taking Jakub back to Poland with her because she had asked about his passport. Explaining why he invited his friend Patrick Borish over to the house, the defendant told the court that he would have a witness if Michelina claimed something happened that didn't. Casp Shack insisted that he was just going to speak to Michelina, but when she came into the hallway, he thought of what Jakub had told him, and he just, quote, lost it. According to Casp Shack, he always carried the taser in his pocket for protection after buying it on a trip to Poland months prior. But when Michelina came out of the bathroom, he squeezed the trigger and held it to her neck for a split second. Casp Shack claimed that Michelina immediately fell over, but he caught her before she hit the ground. The defendant told the court, "Patrick was shocked. I was shocked. I've never done something like that in my life. I looked at Patrick and he was frightened. I didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to do. What crossed my mind was to get tape and tie her up. I don't know why I thought that. I thought if I can tie her up and pack her stuff and let her out, she would be gone. Kaspshak admitted he told Patrick Borish to get some parcel tape from upstairs, and he sat on top of Mikalina while he waited for Borish to come back. When Borish returned, he wrapped the tape around Mikalina's ankles before handing it to Kaspshak, who bound his girlfriend's wrists and put tape over her mouth. He claimed that they then left her in the hallway, but she was able to pull the tape down off her face and began screaming. Kaspshak said that he then retrieved a pillow and sat with Mikalina, offering her some food while he spoke to her. He asked her not to tell anyone that Borish was involved, but Mikalina would not agree, so Kaspshak decided he needed to frighten her into staying quiet. At around 9 p.m, his father came back to the house, and fearing she would be hurt, Kaspshak took a roll of tape and wrapped it around Mikalina's mouth and head 3 times to silence her. He then lifted her into an old cardboard box and taped it shut so no one would see her. Kaspshak told the court that he initially planned on taking Mikalina close to where she worked in Oldham, and as he drove along the route past the golf club, he decided to leave her in the woods. The defendant claimed to have been shocked when he saw the police footage of the scene, as he had not covered the box with that much soil, and it wasn't that deep when he left it. He did, however, admit to putting dirt and leaves on top of it. Kaspshak said that some large branches were resting on the side of the box as a place marker, so he could easily find Mikalina when he planned to return and release her later that night. Under cross-examination from Jonathan Sharp, QC, Kaspshak admitted that he had not returned to free Mikalina by 4 a.m. when he was arrested at Patrick Borish's home. The prosecutor said, "You piled soil over the air holes, knowing that anybody left in that state was going to die. You didn't go back. You fell asleep. You've just buried the mother of your child alive and you fell asleep." Jonathan Sharp, QC, did not believe Kaspshak's explanation about why Borish was at the house, telling the defendant, "If you were going to sit down and talk, why did you get, of all people, Patrick Borish, a 17-year-old, to come with you? Perhaps somebody a bit more mature would have been more suitable. A friend of the family? Maybe a parish priest. These difficult emotional issues between parents are normally dealt with in private. Patrick Borish wasn't there as a witness. He was around because you needed some extra muscle." The prosecutor read a text message that Kaspshak had sent to Borish telling him to wait outside the house before coming in. Sharp asked, "What's so special about Patrick Borish that he can't ring the doorbell? It's patently obvious you were going to meet him outside the house for a purpose, to tell him what you were going to do. You had it in mind to overpower Mikalina Lewandowska. Borish's presence was never for a conversation about your son Jakub, was it? You wanted to get Mikalina out of your life. That's why you tasered her and systematically humiliated her throughout the afternoon." Dismissing the defense's claims that Kaspshak had treated Mikalina kindly while she was bound, the prosecutor asked, "You put food down for her but didn't release her bindings. She needed the bathroom but you didn't release her bindings. You humiliated, bound and gagged her. It's monstrous, isn't it?" Dejected, Kaspshak simply replied, "Yes." Marcin Kaspshak's now 18-year-old co-defendant did not testify in his own defense. The court had heard that Patrick Borish had initially denied any involvement in the kidnapping, But after being confronted with the fact that his fingerprints were found on the tape used to bind Michelina's ankles and the box she was buried in, he eventually admitted his role in the crime. In an effort to highlight the young man's character, statements from people who knew him were read to the court. The jury heard that Borish was considered respectful, polite, punctual, and well-behaved during his time at All Saints Catholic College and Kirklees College, where he was thought to be a gifted student. Statements from Borish's family, friends, and parish priest, Father Stanislav Vocella, were read to the court. Borish had ambitions to become a pilot, and he had finished an air cabin crew training course through the Aviation Academy at Leeds Bradford Airport. Referring to the positive image painted of the defendant, Jonathan Sharp QC said, "If Patrick Borish really is all these things we're hearing, well-behaved and sensitive, why did he stay at the scene of the attack unless he was forewarned? He would have said, 'I'm not staying here,' but instead he joined in." During his closing statement, Patrick Borish's counsel, David Hatton QC, said that his client had only played a minor role in the kidnapping and subsequent burial of Michelina Lewandowska. The barrister referred to the victim's own words when she explained that she did not blame the teenager and felt he had been tricked by Kaspshak in the way she had. After telling the jury that although they might think that Borish had no moral fibre and his actions were indicative of a callous indifference, no evidence had been presented that showed he had tried to kill Michelina. Hatton asked the jury, "Do you seriously believe for one moment that this 17-year-old boy turned up at that house intending to kill?" Kaspshak's counsel, Julian Goose QC, took the same approach in telling the jury that they had to be sure his client intended to kill Michelina, not frighten or scare her. The barrister said, "Don't decide on feelings of revulsion, or if you think you don't understand what could have motivated someone to behave like that. Don't base this on that you feel sorry for Michelina. If you say to yourself, 'Well, I think that he intended to kill her,' that's not enough. You've got to be sure." Citing the fact that Kaspshak had loosened the tape around Michelina's wrists when she lost feeling in her fingers, that he fed her some banana and gave her a pillow as she lay incapacitated on the ground, Julian Goose QC said that his client wouldn't have done those things if he had intended on killing her. Kaspshak's counsel insisted that despite what the jury might see as monstrous behaviour, his client had only intended to scare Michelina into leaving. Julian Goose QC told the jury, "It's almost impossible for any normal person to understand why he did this, but you cannot say it was an intention to kill." After 6 hours of deliberations on Friday, December 16th, 2011, the jury were sent home for the weekend. They returned to deliberate on Monday the 19th, and after another 2 hours, they came to a majority decision. Patrick Borish was found not guilty of attempted murder, prompting his mother to burst out crying with relief in the public gallery. Borish had previously admitted a charge of kidnapping. As for Marcin Kaspshak, he was found guilty of attempted murder, which brought a similar response from his mother, but hers were tears of anguish. The defendants were remanded back into custody to face sentencing in the new year. Outside the courtroom, lead investigator from West Yorkshire Police's major inquiry team, Detective Chief Inspector Lisa Griffin, spoke of the tremendous bravery the survivor had shown during her ordeal. The detective said, "Now that Casp Shack has been found guilty for attempting to murder her, I hope that this brave woman will be able to move on with her life."
As soon as we were made aware of this crime, the Homicide and Major Inquiry team, together with Huddersfield CID, conducted a thorough investigation, and it has been proved in court that this was no prank. This was a determined effort to kill this young woman and to end her life.
Detective Chief Inspector Griffin went on to say, "Casp Shack has shown himself to have been an unpleasant intimidator of a vulnerable woman, and I am pleased that he is now behind bars where he belongs." DCI Griffin also thanked Dan Brockley, who had stopped his car to assist Michelina as she emerged from the woods after escaping. Michelina was not in court to hear the verdict, but her statement was read by Detective Constable Christine Freeman.
"I've just informed Michelina of the verdict, and she's very happy that justice has been done. She has issued a statement that she's asked me to read. During my time inside the shallow grave where I was buried alive, I feared that my life was at an end and that I was going to die. I prayed to God to help me survive so that I could look after my young son. The thought of my son gave me the strength to fight my way out of the box and save myself. I really hope that no one else will ever experience what I went through on that day in May at the hands of a man whom I loved and trusted. Following this traumatic event, I've received excellent support from the officers and staff at West Yorkshire Police. I have no family in the United Kingdom, but the police have cared for me better than I could have ever have wished for, and I would like to thank them most sincerely."
That same day, Michelina's parents Jan and Miroslava spoke with a reporter for the Daily Mail. Her father explained that he never approved of her relationship with Marcin Kaspshak. "I always knew something wasn't right about Marcin right from the start. We didn't make eye contact. He was spoiled and overprotected. Maybe because he is an only child and a mummy's boy. His mother kept him cooped up in a cage like a chicken all his life. So when he went out into the world, he didn't really know what to do." Jan offered his thoughts as to why Casp Shack acted the way he did. Michelina's father said, "The conflict between them got worse and worse, but there was no violence. Then this happened. Either his muscle-building steroids messed with his brain, or he went crazy for some reason." Jan believed that Casp Shack was motivated by greed, wanting his son to be raised the way he was. Michelina's mother echoed her daughter's sentiments of being tormented by Casp Shack even while she slept. Miroslava said, "I am so happy with the verdict because for me, it means peace at last. I was waking up at night having nightmares in which I saw Marcin's face. He was haunting me like a ghost." Before the defendants were sentenced, a hearing was held at Huddersfield Magistrates Court to see whether or not Andre Kaspshak could visit his son in jail. Andre had been convicted of drink driving in the same month that Michelina was kidnapped. He was banned for a period of 22 months, but in October of that year he was caught behind the wheel again. The magistrates imposed a 5-month curfew order, which had been varied to allow him to attend the trial. However, his counsel expressed concerns that the electronic tag he had to wear would prevent him from being able to see his son behind bars. The probation service subsequently informed the court that Andre would be able to visit his son, which brought some relief for Marcin Kaspshak's parents. On January 13, 2012, Marcin Kaspshak and Patrick Borish were brought back to Leeds Crown Court to be sentenced. Kaspshak's counsel, Julian Goose QC, told the court that his client was remorseful for what he had done. The barrister said, "He realizes that as a result of what has happened, he is unlikely to see or have the care of his son again. He will have to live with that." Presiding Judge Peter Collier QC addressed Kaspshak before passing the sentence. He spoke about the impact on Michalina, saying, "She is suffering and will continue to suffer significant psychological harm. I am satisfied that these events will unsettle any prospect of stability for her for years to come." Kaspshak stood emotionless in the dock as the judge ordered him to serve concurrent sentences of 20 years in prison for attempted murder and 12 years and 18 months for kidnapping. Judge Peter Collier QC said that Kaspshak would have to serve half of that sentence behind bars and the rest on license. Addressing Patrick Borish, who had been acquitted of attempted murder but pleaded guilty to kidnapping, the judge accepted that Borish's culpability was less than his co-defendant. He was recruited and did not have murder in mind. Judge Collier did, however, tell Borish that he had played a pivotal role in taking Michalina to the isolated woods, where she was left alone in a shallow grave to suffer. Patrick Borish was sentenced to 4 years in a Young Offenders Institute as he had been 17 at the time of the offence. 227 days were reduced from the sentence to account for the time he had spent on remand. So where are we now? In December 2012, Marcin Kaspshak filed an appeal against his conviction and sentence, claiming that he did not get a fair trial and that his sentence was too long. Kaspshak's barrister argued that the judge erred when he told the jury they could take any inference from Kaspshak's decision to remain silent during police interviews, and the judge erred when he implied that Patrick Borish's lies were not to be taken as an inference of his guilt. Subsequently, the appeal judges rejected these arguments, stating that the conviction was not unsafe, and the sentences were fair considering that the three charges he had been found guilty of or pleaded guilty to had been dealt with together. 1 week later, Marcin Kaspshak was back at Leeds Crown Court, where he pleaded guilty to 8 counts of possession of offensive explosives in relation to the chemicals and compounds found at his address, 2 days after Michalina Lewandowska was kidnapped. The pleas were accepted, and the prosecution announced that there was no evidence that Kaspshak had done anything more than some experiments at his home. Kaspshak was sentenced to 4 years to run concurrently with the other sentences he had received. Detective Chief Inspector Lisa Griffin with the West Yorkshire Police spoke about the sentence outside of court. "This brings to a successful conclusion an extremely complex and lengthy investigation that began in May 2011 with the kidnap and attempted murder of Michalina Lewandowska. During that trial, Marcin Kaspshak showed himself to be an unpleasant, intimidating man who fully deserved the lengthy sentence he received. This latest trial is further proof that Kaspshak is a man who should be behind bars, and we are pleased with the actions of the judge. I'm also very pleased for the victim and her young son. Michalina has been through extremely difficult times, and I hope that she can now finally move on with her life." Later that month, Michalina was interviewed by a correspondent for the Huddersfield Daily Examiner. She spoke from an undisclosed location, a great distance from where she was almost killed, explaining that she hates her former partner for what he did, Michelina offered her thoughts about the man who almost killed her. "He is vile and despicable. I will never forgive him for what he did. Some nights I dream of him. In one dream he tries to grab my hand so he can pull me towards him, and I don't know whether to give him my hand or not. He wanted me dead and planned to kill me in the most horrific way imaginable. But I was not going to let him succeed. And using my last bit of strength, I kicked and clawed my way out of that grave. Now he's the one who is imprisoned, and I hope he rots in there." In May 2013, Marcin Kasprzak filed another appeal against his sentence. This too was ultimately dismissed. Thank you for listening, and special thanks to our patrons for their support. For more information on this episode, please see the show notes or visit our website, theywalkamonguspodcast.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.